This is the Aspen Public Radio newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett, here with your top stories this Tuesday. The city of Aspen will phase out its Car2Go program this spring. It will replace the city-run program with Zipcar, a private car-sharing program based in Boston. Car-share programs allow drivers to pay monthly fees to use cars for short periods of time. Aspen City Councilman Bill Guth says contracting with Zipcar will free up city resources that staff say are being taken up by the current Car2Go program.
I think it'll be a better service for the users. I think it's better technology. I think it's less staff resources that need to go into managing it.
The change is part of a planned expansion of the service. The city wants to offer the car sharing program to Down Valley communities. It also wants to make it available to visitors and second homeowners to address congestion. Car2Go has offered a fleet of 7 hybrid and electric vehicles to 300 members for short-term use. Zipcar will help expand the fleet and the membership. Snowmass Village Town Council voted to schedule a final review for a $75 million affordable housing project, but not all council members were on board. The 66-unit rental complex is known as the draw site. Councilor Britta Gustafson said the building is too large for the steep site just northwest of Snowmass Town Hall.
It's not, to me, appropriate for the mass and scale in this. And when it comes to land use, I think that we are really stretching the limits of our established constraints in every way.
Councilors voted 3-2 to move the project forward, but it will require a supermajority vote for final approval. Councilor Cecily D'Angelo and Gustafson voted against the project. D'Angelo was concerned that a proposed 109 parking spaces was just too much for the project. The town will refine the project before bringing it back to council for a final review. It'll likely take a few months. In statewide news, during a water meeting earlier last week, Colorado Attorney General Phil Weiser said the state will defend itself in upcoming Colorado River negotiations. CPR's Ishan Takwar has more.
Current guidelines for operating the largest dams and reservoirs on the Colorado River expire this year. Negotiators from 7 states, including Colorado, have been trying to reach consensus on new guidelines. But so far, they failed. Weiser told the Colorado Water Congress that while the best outcome is a negotiated one, the state is prepared for litigation.
We can't be afraid of the possibility that we need to defend our rights. And if it comes to that, Colorado is not going to be a sucker.
Western governors, including Governor Polis, will be in D.C. this month to try to break the impasse. States have until February 14th to reach an agreement. I'm Ishan Takwar, CPR News.
Colorado's Family Affordability Tax Credit is at risk. It was introduced for the 2024 tax season and provides up to $3,200 per child to help keep families out of poverty. But it could be shut down due to the state's major budget shortfall. Delilah Lopez is an MBA student in Fort Collins and a member of the Chippewa Cree tribe. She's also a single mom of 5. Lopez says the new tax credit has helped her achieve some financial security while she's in school.
It has really been a lifesaver and a lifeline for my family, and I'm able to focus on myself, my career, my children, my family, versus being in a relationship or a space that isn't safe for us.
Nearly 1 in 5 Colorado families run by single women live in poverty, more than double the rate of families headed by single men. That's according to a new report released last week from 2 women's policy organizations. A federal judge blocked an order earlier last week from the Trump administration that could have threatened food assistance programs in Colorado. CPR's Ava Keon reports.
The order would have required Colorado to conduct in-person interviews with more than 100,000 households receiving benefits within 30 days. Whether people would still get food assistance would depend on if they were recertified. In a press release, Attorney General Phil Weiser said the timeline was impossible to meet. He also called it a form of punishment to the state. The lawsuit alleges the administration threatened to remove Colorado from the SNAP program if it did not comply within that time frame. Ava Keon, CPR News.
Democratic lawmakers are developing a proposal to protect workers dealing with extreme weather conditions. Ray Solomon reports for the Colorado Capital News Alliance.
The extreme heat bill would require employers to give all workers access to water, shade, and rest during extreme heat conditions. Workers would also have to be trained to recognize the signs of heat exhaustion and heat stroke. Similar measures would protect workers facing extreme cold. Those standards were originally developed by the Biden-era Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, but were rolled back after President Trump took office. The state bill would reinstate them in Colorado. Democratic State Representative Elizabeth Velasco is planning to introduce the bill in mid-February.
We have seen workers die across the nation, from delivery drivers to airport workers, and we want workers to be able to come home after their shift.
A similar proposal to protect agricultural workers from extreme heat died in the House last year.
That was Roy Solomon for the Colorado Capital News Alliance. The Catholic Archbishop of Denver called for a return of, quote, moral foundation in the United States following rising tensions, death, and harmful rhetoric around immigration enforcement. CPR's Allison Sherry has more.
Archbishop Samuel Aquila evoked Pope Leo XIV while threading a needle in a lengthy statement he issued Thursday. He said that even though nations have the right to control who enters their borders, they should treat people humanely and with dignity. Aquila noted that both political parties have treated immigrants as pawns and objects. Violence, threats, and inflammatory language are morally unacceptable, he said. This is the second time clergy in Colorado have weighed in on immigration in a matter of weeks. A band of progressive pastors are monitoring immigration court proceedings in Denver to make sure those there know they had a spiritual leader in their corner. I'm Allison Sherry, CPR News.
And in regional news, Republicans in Congress are increasingly turning to a little-known law to overturn federal public lands decisions. As the Mountain West News Bureau's Rachel Cohen reports, the move could reshape land management in our region.
The Congressional Review Act, or CRA for short, lets Congress roll back certain federal agency rules. Historically, it's rarely been used on public lands, but that's changing. Last year, the CRA overturned Biden-era Bureau of Land Management plans in Montana, Wyoming, and other states. Now, lawmakers are targeting a mining ban in Minnesota and could try to unwind plans for Utah's Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. Joe Lupino-Esposito with the Conservative Pacific Legal Foundation applauds Congress for reining in federal agencies.
The way they've been using a lot of public land orders, land management plans, guidance documents, they've really kind of overstepped what Congress should have given them the power for.
Critics argue the strategy sidelines public opinion and creates uncertainty over scores of past lands decisions. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Rachel Cohen.
Scientists have created the most detailed groundwater map ever for the United States. This comes as much of the Mountain West is facing another dry winter. Caleb Radel has more.
Discussions about water in the West often focus on rivers, reservoirs, and snowpack. But much of the region's freshwater is actually underground. Reed Maxwell is a Princeton engineer and co-author of the study, done in collaboration with the University of Arizona.
You always think the closest water is like a lake or a river or a stream, but the closest water is beneath your feet. That, as an education outreach component, is really important, particularly in the West, where it's so out of sight, out of mind.
The study uses machine learning to estimate groundwater depth at a very fine scale, about 30 meters, roughly the size of a city lot. In the Mountain West, the data shows groundwater can vary sharply over short distances. Information that could help communities plan for drought and avoid overpumping stressed aquifers. The new groundwater map is publicly available. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Caleb Radel.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, reporters Reagan Mertz, Sarah Torrey, Michael Finelli, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Josie Taris, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.